of our data for the public health enumeration is ASTO and NACHO. So Carolyn Lee from NACHO will present first. And of course, NACHO is the National Association of County and City Health Officials. Carolyn is currently the Senior Director of Research and Evaluation, and she leads the National Profile of Local Health Department Studies and oversees NACHO's Economic Surveillance Program. Carolyn received her MPH from Johns Hopkins School of Public Health, Bloomberg School of Public Health, and she has her Master's in Science in Organic Chemistry, wow, from Stanford. And I can never say this university. What's this BS? Okay, yeah, Valparaiso. And here's Carolyn.
So, for some segments of the public health workforce, even governmental public health workforce, the idea of enumerating is a new one and one they may not have very much experience doing and are just learning what some of the problems and pitfalls are. But NACHO has actually been at this for about two decades. So I thought what I would try to do today was to talk about what we do, what we've learned about that, some of the things that have gone well and things that have gone not so well, in hopes that these will be helpful to other organizations that will be part of this surveillance system for public health. And I have no financial relationships to disclose. So NACHO has conducted six profile studies to date. The profile is a census design. We distribute a questionnaire to each and every local health department in the United States, and we go to a great deal of trouble to make sure that we find all of those. Since there are over 2,500 of them, that is not a trivial task. This includes both health departments come in a number of different flavors. We include both health departments that are units of local government and those that are the local or regional units of state health agencies. So every single profile study back to 1989 has in some way, shape, or form collected data on the local health department workforce. We get usually quite good response rates for the profile, somewhere between 77 and 88%, with one exception, which I'll talk about later. And we've published summary reports for all profiles except one, and again, I'll talk about that experience later. And at the end, there's a website, and we put up all the instruments, all the reports and so forth from these profile studies. So what kind of workforce enumerations do we collect in the profile? We collect the total number of employees and FTEs that we have collected in every single profile. Well, I don't want to say every single profile. We've gotten employees in each one, and I think FTEs in all but one. We collect information on the occupations employed by local health departments. Some profiles collect information on FTEs in specific occupations, and you saw the list earlier. Some profiles have collected aggregate information about race, ethnicity, and gender of local health department staff. That's across the whole local health department. And we also generally an organizational level survey, but we do collect individual level information about the local health department top executive. And some of this information has been collected in, again, every profile since 1989. So starting with the total number of staff, this is the one that we've done on each and every profile study, and everyone except 1993, we collected data on total FTEs. NACHO did not begin to try to actually estimate the size of the entire local health department workforce until 2005. So this slide shows some data that are showing the size of the local health department workforce, both in terms of total employees and FTEs at three time points, 2005, 2008, and 2010. What you see here, just a couple things to point out, is you do see between 2005 and 2008, we had some modest growth in the size of the local health department workforce, and we gave much of that up between 2008 and 2010. The other thing I would call your attention to is the size of the confidence intervals on these estimates. For reasons I will talk about later, it's difficult to get a very precise estimate. So what are some of the challenges in trying to get the total number of staff at local health departments, particularly trying to compare over time? One of these is that local health departments in some jurisdictions are part of a larger agency. So they may be part of a health and human services agency or a health and hospital agency. And really, if we could have exactly what we wanted, we would really only want their public health employees. But sometimes we do not get that. Their human resources systems can report what they can report. And unfortunately, we don't always get that consistently either, which is part of the reason why our confidence is not as high as we'd like it to be sometimes in those numbers. Accounting for contract employees, we ask health departments to count their contract employees right along with their governmental ones, because what we're interested in really is the capacity of a local health department, not so much who's writing your paycheck. Accounting for temporary employees, interns, students, seasonal employees, we ask them to give us the count of their employees at the time when they're filling out their profile study, and that may or may not look like what it does the rest of the year. And the big one is accounting for missing data. We do not get 100% response to the profile survey, and we get a certain number of people who skip this section, or they give us information that looks so strange that we end up deleting it from the data set. So we have some missing data, and the variance in these data is enormous, and so that's what results in those fairly large error bands you saw. So next kind of information we collect is occupations employed by the local health departments, and we included a question about whether or not you employ a certain occupation in every profile questionnaire except for 1996. The occupations that are in that list have changed over time, but there are some key occupations that have been included in every single profile back to 1989. Sometimes we change the wording of the occupation because sort of the way the field talks about this changes over time. So in the 2010 profile, we used the term public health informatics specialist, whereas in the previous two, we used information systems specialist. And our first look at the data tells us that although we kind of wanted health departments to interpret those terms the same, we don't think they did. So, there's always some risk in trying to be up to date with the language that's most common at the time. So here's an example of the data about employment of various occupations in local health departments. So you're seeing data points from 1989, 2005, and 2010, and you see that for some of the occupations that are really the workhorses of the local health department workforce, you see very modest changes in those over time. Administrative and clerical personnel, nurses, environmental health workers, nutritionists, and so forth. You see a large decrease in the percentage of local health departments that employ physicians, and you see substantial increases in the percentage of health departments that are employing some of the more specialized occupations like health educators, epidemiologists, and public information specialists. If you look back in 1989, really only your very largest local health departments would be employing these kinds of professions, and now in 2010, you see many medium-sized and even a few small health departments that might have these kind of specialized occupations. So challenges in trying to look at which occupations are employed by local health departments. I already alluded to selecting a name for the occupation that is understood uniformly across the U.S. Not easy. We've tried to put in definitions and lists of synonyms and things like that, and we continue to work to do the best we can that way. For small health departments, one of their challenges is accounting for staff members who wear multiple hats, so the nurse who also serves as a health educator or an epidemiologist, making sure they count that correctly. We already talked about job function versus education or training. If there is a nurse that's serving as the director of a health department, we want that person counted as a director, not as a nurse. And this is a biggie, particularly for large local health departments. The titles and classifications that are in their human resources systems may be very difficult to map to the occupational categories in the profile questionnaire. This doesn't tend to be too much of a problem for just do you employ this or not, but where it gets difficult is when you're trying to get to the numbers. So FTE staff in specific occupations. This was something that NACHO actually first tried to do in its 1993 study. That didn't go so well. They did not try to do this in 1996. That was a pretty short profile. And then there was a long time between the 1996 and the 2005 profile, but there was sort of a profile-like infrastructure study that was conducted in 1999 by Mathematica, and they tried again to collect this data and still didn't go so well, a little better. But we finally successfully collected this in 2009, and we continue to use that format. So here is the don't use this. This is what we did in 1993. We had this whole fairly long list. You're just seeing an excerpt here, and we have staff positions budgeted, number of full-time filled, number of part-time filled, staff positions vacant. So you can imagine that many health departments, when they looked at this enormous matrix, wanted to just throw up their hands and not do this, which a lot of them did. They just did not fill this out or couldn't figure out how to do it. Another problem was, and this is the same problem we had in 1996, is being able to distinguish between health departments who did not answer the question and those who actually have zero employees. So if there are blanks there, is it because I don't have an epidemiologist, or because I didn't answer your question, or because I couldn't categorize that way? So this one, I don't believe Nature. I've never seen any kind of summary where Nature tried to do something with this data. So this is from that profile-like questionnaire. So, you know, you see we learned some things. We're not asking them to break them down into all these different filled and not filled and full-time and part-time. This time we're asking them for their total FTEs. And again, we have a very long list of occupations, and we gave them some descriptions of the kind of people who should be in that category. So those are all good things. But we still didn't fix the problem of being able to tell which were zeros and which were people who skipped the question. So the way these data ended up being reported was four health departments that reported that they had an environmental engineer. These were the you know, mean and median numbers of staff, which is useful, but really not quite what we were after. So this is the format that finally worked that we used in 2005. So we have a question. We combine the do you employ with the number. So we ask, do you employ staff in this classification? Yes, no. And then we give them two choices. Either tell us how many FTEs you have currently employed, or tell us that you can't give us the FTEs. You employ epidemiologists, but you have no way of telling us the number. So this allows us to distinguish missing data from actual zeros, and then we could actually start estimating the numbers of employees in different occupations. So here's an example of what those data look like. This is actually from a longitudinal analysis of the profile data in 2005 and 2008. So this is based on health departments that answered both of those surveys, and you see how these different occupations changed over time. You see some that are increasing, information systems specialists, public information specialists, emergency preparedness coordinators. You see a number that are staying fairly flat, and you see some that are decreasing: physicians, registered nurses, epidemiologists, and health educators. So particularly with a longitudinal design, we really can start to see how things are changing in local health departments. So challenges. Everything I talked about for types of occupation, but even more so. As I mentioned, for very large health departments, they have a lot of difficulty mapping their human resources system to the categories we ask them to. So we sometimes see large changes which are really artifactual. We saw a very large health department where it looked like they hired 300 epidemiologists in between 2008 and 2010, and we suspected that was not the case. And when we actually followed up with their human resources folks, they explained, you know, why those numbers could be so disparate. Again, treatment of missing data. As I mentioned, we have missing data. There are a number of ways that you can treat the missing data, and, you know, there are separate different correct ways to treat the missing data, but the way you choose to treat them will make a difference in how you do your estimates. We changed in 2010 the way we do our estimates. We're using a method that allows us to use more of our data, but it does come up with a little different estimate. So then we have to go back to our old data and try to apply that same method to make valid comparisons. We already talked about the large uncertainty in estimates, and then there's always balancing the desire to categorize more employees versus having a reasonable questionnaire length that doesn't result in too much attrition of attention to that question. So then we also collect aggregate information on race, ethnicity, and gender of local health department staff. We did this in a 2005 profile module. That's a part of the questionnaire that goes to a statistical sample, and it performed pretty well. So it got promoted to the core part of it in 2008 and 2010. Most health departments could give us these aggregate percentages, and we collected gender data in the core of the 2008 profile. And all of these had pretty good item response rates. So these are data that are fairly accessible to local health departments. So this is an example of those data. This is from the 2008 profile study, and this shows the percentage of local health department employees who are male, any minority race, and of Hispanic or Latino ethnicity. The bars on the end are for all local health departments, and then you see how this changes according to the sizes of the jurisdiction served by the local health department. So in our smallest local health departments, the percentage of minority race and Hispanic ethnicity staff are quite small, become quite a bit larger in the large jurisdictions, as one would expect. One of the things we really wanted to collect was age of local health department staff. This is something that's of great interest to people, but we've learned that it's not really practical at this point to collect this at the organizational level. We put a question in one of our modules in 2008 asking health departments whether they had tabulated this data, because if a large majority said they had done this, we would have tried to collect that in a subsequent profile, but only about a third of local health departments told us they had that. So that was, at this point, not practical. But we do collect information on characteristics of local health department top executives. So this is an example of trying to get that richer individual level data. There's a whole list of things you see that we've collected in all or most profiles, and then a couple of additions that we've added to our recent profiles. So here's an example of those data. These are showing the distribution of ages of top executives using data from the 2005 and 2010 profiles, and you see, kind of consistent with the public health world and the U.S. workforce in general, you're seeing them shift to older ages. We see a decrease in the percentage of health officials that are in the 40 to 49 group and the 50 to 59 group, and a fairly large increase in the 60 to 69 group. So that's an example of those data. This is an example, and this is, you see the N equals 442, so that means it was from a profile module. And we asked health department top executives what kind of positions they held immediately prior to their current position. So this gives us some idea about what the career pathway looks like for local health department executives. And you see that over half of them were either had another position at their current local health department or were top executive, I'm sorry, had another position at their current local health department or were a top executive at another local health department. And as you go around the circle, you see that a large majority of these people are coming from public health either at the local level or the state level. So just summarizing with some other lessons learned, and I think a couple other speakers already mentioned the fact that if this is going to be a surveillance system, you really need a long-term stable source of funding to do this. And we have at NHO have some kind of bad examples of what happens when you don't have a really stable long-term source of funding. So in 1993, I think NHO really didn't quite have enough money to do this, so they basically sold off parts of the survey to various funders, resulting in an extremely long survey that took over a year to field. So this was out in the field for 14 months and still resulted in, for NHO, what we would consider to be a pretty mediocre response rate. So you can, even though I'm amazed at the willingness of our health departments to field a long survey, you really can make it too long, is what we learned. The 1996 profile, this was one where, NHO got in there and said, okay, let's think about how much money we have and how big of a survey they could do, and they wisely did a very, tailored short survey, got a great response rate, but unfortunately then ran out of funds and they couldn't actually publish the results of the survey. And while many researchers have used these data for a lot of different projects, this really diminishes the value, particularly to the participants, when you can't get back to them with what the information is. And then, of course, the gap of almost a decade between the 1996 and 2005 profiles. Another thing that we have learned is actually who conducts the survey matters. So when Mathematica conducted the profile-like study in 1999, and that got a response rate of 63%, which, you may be thinking is pretty good, but by NHO standards, not so much. And I don't know that we really do work hard, but I really do think it's our relationship with the local health departments and the state associations that are really key to strong participation. So this one just summarizes how Profile contributes to workforce enumeration. It's an excellent source of organizational level data on local health department workforce. It provides organizational level data on occupations, employee race, gender, and ethnicity, and individual level data on local health department top executive characteristics. And then I'd like to acknowledge the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, who provide funding to support the Profile study, my colleagues at NACHO who work on the Profile team, and especially the local health department staff who respond to the Profile questionnaires. We always put some evaluation questions in one of our modules, and based on one of those, we estimate that local health department leaders and staff spent 12,000 hours, so 300 work weeks, responding to the 2010 Profile. So it's an amazing investment of effort by local health departments. And there is my contact information and the website where you can find out all kinds of things about Profile.
If I have a question, maybe one. I'm curious if you have considered doing a sample of this to a census, and I'm studying health interviewers for people who can really do more intensive interviews and minimize the missing data.
We haven't considered doing that as a telephone survey sample yet, because for most of our groups, our response rate is quite high. The one group that it's very poor for are very small local health departments, and we have thought about actually doing that kind of a thing, doing a telephone survey with them, perhaps on a smaller tailored version of the questionnaire. We haven't done that yet, but it's certainly something we've considered.
I'm wondering if you have any information that provides some context to the data you showed about trends in the different positions and the number of health departments that are employing, for example, health educators, epidemiologists, et cetera. For those of us who are in an academic environment, we're advising students or prospective practitioners about their entree into the workforce. I think that's a really interesting look at the trends and maybe how much of that is the economy, et cetera, what they expect over long term.
Yeah, it's something we haven't done a particular focus on, but you certainly, if you look at the results, the things you see make sense. If you look at how the service mix of local health departments has changed over time, getting away from so much direct provision of clinical services and more into population-based things, it really parallels what we're seeing in the workforce.
Thank you.